If you are an eagle, spread your wings and fly. But I should not see you coercing and fighting with pigeons. From this day forward, he says, you will mount up with wings, not of a pigeon or of a stork. He said, of an eagle. He mentioned nothing about a pelican. He mentioned nothing about a vulture. We have plenty of those at this church. But he said, eagle, which means you take off and there's no fight involved with staying up. You just let the Holy Spirit come underneath your wingspan. No flapping involved. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 6. When you have it, say amen. His word is already blessed. I'm asking him to bless his servant today. Let no man deceive you with vain words or empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now, say now, are ye the light in the Lord. So what you have to do is walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that when ye walk circumspectly, hear this church, not as fools, but as wise. And now we must redeem the time, because the days are evil. Go to Genesis chapter number 9. Verse number 18. The last thing you need is a church that's going to promise you a bunch of stuff and things that pertain to the flesh. Those things can be accomplished by working hard and staying focused. The Lord doesn't have to bless you with a car. You just have to work, and then you can get one. That's not an intercessory prayer moment. Just work and save up and put the down payment on the car. But what we need is a word concerning our character as kingdom citizens. And that's what we must investigate. Verse number 18 in chapter number 9 in the first book of the Bible. It's always good to start at the beginning. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered. Hear this. Noah, he was a father and a husbandman, planted some things, drank of the harvest and of the vineyard, and got drunk. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both of their shoulders and went backward. Say backward. And covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward. They did not walk forward into the tent, although they had heard that their father was naked. They did not walk into the tent to see him naked, but to cover their father's nakedness by walking in backwards, to cover without seeing. I'm already teaching here. They walked in backwards. Their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Look at your neighbor and say, "Rebel without a cause." Find someone else. Rebel without a cause. All right, you can be seated. Thank you. There was an old film with James Dean, I believe, called Rebel Without a Cause. It's one thing to be rebellious because something has been planted in you, or some form of restraint unjustly was put upon you, which causes people to rebel. There are all types of rebellion, and there is even righteous rebellion. When you rebel against sin, and you rebel against the attributes of the flesh, when you rebel against the slander and the gossip and the hearing of things within the wind, to rebel against the status quo in society. Some would also deem that as a maverick, someone who does things their own way. To some, that would be deemed rebellion. There was also those who are considered an anomaly, which means that you are very unique in your approach, that you swim perhaps against the grain. So there are different forms of rebellion, but it is a particular rebellion that has tried to creep in, and we are continuing on from Tuesday's lesson about Jezebel. And one of the many characteristics that she will display through fools, someone say fools, is rebellion. And you're seeing a lot of this happening within the church and within the home. Somebody say amen. Mm-hmm. You don't have to admit that you're afraid of your child. I already know you are. You don't have to admit that you don't know how to deal with them, so you just pretend that they don't exist. But let no man deceive you with empty words. Words are powerful. And you only speak things from your mouth that exist within your heart already. So, even if you don't say it, it's not a matter of being quiet, it's a matter of searching the heart. I can be silent but still hold the same disposition within my heart. The word of the Lord gives us that He is to create in us a clean heart, not new mouth. He talks about that the words of my mouth, which are directly linked to the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. So it's not the mouth. It's not the mouth, but it is a condition specifically of the heart. And the heart is where rebellion comes from. I want you now to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, and go to verse number 34. Do we have any believers in here that want to grow? Now, instead of hyping you into oblivion, it is more imperative that I give you the tools that you need to not be found amongst foolishness anymore this year. It's really tired and tawdry, and it's very immature and beneath your anointing. We're not stuck up. We just know who we are. I know who I am. You just sang it. You know what your name is. So your name should not be found amongst foolishness because of the oil on your life. Verse number 34, when you have it, say amen. Okay. You brood of vipers, how can you say, and how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of good things stored up in him. You don't have anything good to say because your cabinets and cupboards and refrigerators in the fruits of the Spirit are empty. So because there was a void in your own personal life, you must attack those who do have a life. And the ones that do have a life are those that don't know what's going on. Because they're so busy working, praying, and providing for their families that they don't have time to even be aware of what's going on in the wind, on the net, on the television, on the radio. You don't care because that's not your priority. And many of you are trying to wait till you turn 40 and 45 and 50 to get mature. But when your anointing is 60 years old, although you're 12, you have to govern yourself in a different way. We have young people here with very old, peculiar anointings and a wisdom beyond measure, which is why the enemy starts early to try to distract us. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil that's stored up in him. So an outburst doesn't come out of nowhere. You have outbursts stored up in you. It's been there. It doesn't just happen from osmosis. That means there is a spirit within you that has been carrying this, waiting for the opportune moment to unleash and hope that it's justified. But it cannot be. Because
When we know who we are,
we start early with the word and through prayer and fasting, bringing that flesh under subjection to the power of the Holy Ghost. The evil man has it stored up in him, and the good man has things stored up in him. So we got to be careful about who's bringing us groceries.
The problem with this church
is you all are taking helps from people that only want to get in your cupboards to report back what they had to bring you because you didn't have it. So they report your lack. Ham went back to his brothers and reported his covering's lack. They knew the spirit and the intent behind what Ham was saying was to attack the authority of the man in leadership. Saying, I saw him in a vulnerable state so that perhaps Ham could become the new husbandman and plant and be the one everyone looks at. He was the father of Canaan, so I'm sure he hadn't got the attention that he wanted. He was the youngest, which also meant spiritually he was immature. When you are immature, you speak before you think. Without thinking of the consequences of how it was going to affect you and all subsequent people around you and their version of what they saw. Ham did not think about the repercussions of if that word got out to the rest of those Noah had authority over. I often wonder why people get a kick out of trying to pull the covers off of pastors and say that they are connected to their church or to the kingdom. This same man of God is human, just like you, and regardless of what he or she has done, they have done their best to make sure your life was right and have done their best to cover up your mess. So now that you found out that there's a scandal, you're going to report your leader's nakedness at a time when he needs to be covered or she needs to be covered in the spirit? You are a rebel without a cause. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about presbytery. Receive not the accusation of an elder. That's the Bible. This ain't about me. I'm covered by the blood. I've learned, don't depend on folks covering here. Amen. No shade whatsoever, but it's too inconsistent. Some pray, some don't. Some are into noonday prayer, some aren't. Some like to fast, some don't. I don't have a consistent force field around me. But if indeed there was a time that I was to fall short based off of how many times I preached and spoken to your life, shouldn't there be something that wants to see a man or woman or brother and sister in Christ restored? Where's the restoration? I told you when I was teaching about Jezebel, yes, we're driving the spirit out, but we're not driving people out. Their souls still belong to God. Even in disobedience, the core premise is to see them restored back to a healthy relationship with God, not just rebuked. They know they've done wrong already. Rebel without a cause. Thank you, Jesus. Words are an outlet of the heart. And to know authority, one must first meet authority. Otherwise,
he will never obey. You can't submit to your boss if you haven't submitted to God. That's why you try to say it's a personal attack. No, it's not a personal attack. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, they should have no power to trigger anger or provoke rage out of you. Where's your Holy Ghost? Y'all ain't talking to me in this house. Either we have temperance or we don't. Either we have the Holy Spirit or we don't. Well, he drove me into rebellion. You drove yourself. You have the keys to that car. The mere hearing of the message of obedience is totally ineffective. How do I know? People, by nature, the Adamic nature of who we are, is to rebel against the word and to rebel against the principles of God. Tell someone, I do it naturally. I don't have to practice cussing you out. I don't have to practice thinking an ill thought about you. I don't have to work on not liking you. Tell someone, some of y'all make it easy for me. For some of you, it's your wife. If this is your husband, for some of you, it's your kids. It don't take you much to not like them. They're just not likable people. You love them. You wish best for them, but you do not like them. You need to be real in this house. You can't do what I know. But you can't get freed from that hidden disposition of heart until you first admit you have a problem. When someone has an encounter with God, when they have a real encounter with God, then the foundation of God's authority will be laid. And the reason why churches can't obey is because a true foundation of holiness and obedience to God, to Christ, has not been laid. Because the church has been pacified with prophecies for the past 20 years that they never, ever, ever develop a true foundation in the word of the Lord, which says, you know what? I am submitted to the cause of Christ. I am submitted to the cause of Christ. Therefore, I can't resort to personal reason. Because you'll try to reason out things and justify actions that the word does not justify. Okay. And afterwards, whenever somebody says a rebellious word, that word reverberates throughout a congregation or throughout a house to the point that if a child says something that is flippant to a parent and there are other siblings, it puts the parent in an awkward situation because if the parent does not immediately deal with that, then it sends a signal to the other siblings that perhaps it's okay to usurp authority. So what happens is that the same measure of justice must be given to each sibling. And those in authority, be it the mother and father or the presbytery, whoever it may be, they all have to be on the same page because children of God love to play one leader against the other. And tell the portion of the story that lets you look good without acknowledging your contribution to the overall confusion. Mature people take ownership for their actions, and sometimes sorry does not fix what you did. It doesn't necessarily mean that you weren't sorry. But when we put things out there, church, it's hard to reel words back in. We taught not long ago about taking a beat before you just pop back with an answer, because you would be surprised at the memory of women. Men choke each other and 3 minutes later they're playing basketball. Women, however,
They remember things like a computer. And things that have nothing to do with your relationship could remind them of something you did in your relationship. They'll see a color and be reminded that that's the color of the sweater you had on when they first found out you was tipping. But they have forgiven you 3 years ago. But that thing will pop back up just because they associate now. That color is no longer accepted in this house. Remove all the paint and shoes that have that color. Because that color is now associated with my emotional hurt. And whatever you give a woman, she will take it in and multiply it and give it back to you. If you give her hell, she will take that hell and multiply it and give you Hades back. You give her problems, she will take that problem and multiply that problem and give it back to you. Some of us are rebellious because we are not understood. Very quickly, a man's rebellion is expressed through his tongue. Here's the problem. They agree with you to your face, but behind your back, you revile him or her. You know, it's time out for fake people. Don't you praise the Lord with me, and I know you just ran your mouth. You are offending the God in me because you're saying praise the Lord, but you can't praise the Lord and hate me out of the same mouth. That is a form of rebellion because they will agree with you just to make it seem like everything's fine. But they're texting and they're talking and they're twittering and insinuating through Twitter messages. You're not saying names, but you are insinuating situations that you know others know about. If you are a real woman or a real man, say what you need to say to the person you have to say it to. The rest of the world doesn't need to know what's going on. That is a punk move. This is college, sweetheart. That's high school. Don't have someone deliver me a message for you. You tell me. But you're a rebel without a cause. You hate me for no reason. All third party character information is 99.9% false. When you talk to the person, you will find out it was nothing like the middleman told you. And she or he is the traitor. Time someone needs you to deliver a FedEx of foolishness to somebody, why don't you tell that person, deliver your package yourself? Because when people are messy, they need someone else they can possibly blame the transaction on just in case their plans fail. Rebel without a cause.
rebelling against those who have leadership over you for no reason except they didn't do it your way. Giving your parents a hard time without a cause, just because they told you no. You need to be told no. As much as you tell God no, all of your answers should be no. Until rebellion is removed from your heart, you don't even know you are harboring demonic spirits and witchcraft that's using you to keep stuff up in your house and home. People that are rebellious are outwardly submitted. Now we're going to talk about those who have false humility. They act like they're so with the church. They're so with the company they work for. They're so with the move of God. They're so with the community. They do that to look good on the outside, but underneath in the board meetings and all of the development planning, they are the main ones that always bring opposition to great ideas. You know who they are. No matter what's presented, no matter what is said, they have to find some type of kink in it. Rebellion comes in the form of department heads and managers and supervisors who are rebelling against you because they are intimidated by your potential. You cannot allow them to make you take yourself out of what you're about to get. If you hold your peace and don't become a rebel without a cause, God will fight your battle and remove your opposition. And here's the thing. Don't pray, I need his position. Because however you serve your supervisor, when you become supervisor, that is the way they're going to serve you. Praise the Lord. Now, though Ham had discovered his father's weakness, he seized the opportunity to broadcast it to his brothers and sisters. I have a problem with that here. It's not that things are going on. It's the way people are broadcasting what's going on. This thing that you all have about involving people that has nothing to do with the matter is causing so much confusion. At your schools, you all have to learn how to hear things passing in the wind, but don't have an opinion about what passed by. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying to you, but some of you all see things and hear things and then you want to say what you feel about it or put in your two cents about what you have seen. It is very important for you not to be named among anyone. Make sure that your words are yea and nay. Rebels love to get involved with other people's business, although they can't solve the problem. Today, many brethren, due to a lack of love, enjoy criticizing people and take delight in disclosing each other's faults, just like Ham did to his father. Anyone that takes joy in revealing someone else's faults are obviously trying to cover up their own. And whoever is without fault in this house, please raise your hand. Now we're going to get very honest. If you have ever talked about anybody in your life behind their back, raise your hand. You really don't want me to preach this message in your lap. Get them hands up. Some of you need to put your hooves up too. When we see what happens with rebellion, we should want to resist it. For the same reason we ought not to revile others, speaking against them before God. And I'm going to bless you, church, not even in your prayers. That's a hard one. Because some of y'all go into a deep prayer about how you want pit bull Jesus to sick your enemies. Sick them, Jesus. Get them, Lord. They're foul. They're dark. And Lord, you said you're the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and I want you to roar all over their ministry. But you want the Lord to be a meek lamb concerning your foolishness. David proved himself to be one who kept his position by acknowledging that Saul was anointed by the Lord for the position. And it takes integrity to know you have a first place anointing, but you're in second place. Satan's power is established by those who do not keep their place. You're envying other people's positions in life, in career, and in church, not knowing what those people have to go through to maintain those positions. There are two things which cause Christians to lose power. Number one is sin. It's pretty obvious. But the second, right behind it, is rebelling against authority. And part of the way that we rebel against authority is the way that when you see a cop pull next to you, there's a feeling that comes inside, that NWA spirit, that Ice Cube spirit. Am I right about it? You don't think anything kind about them. You immediately think, oh Lord, what they want, what this pig want, what this fool want. Po-po. Listen. Madea is a movie. You try that stuff in real life, you're going to get killed. You all take this ghetto movie mentality, soul plane mentality into the real world. And I'm trying to tell you that is a script. In the real world, those that rebel lose. Those that keep quiet and play the game till they work themselves up into a position of power to make change. You can't change anyone's system bucking against it. You must first learn form straight off and work your way up through consistency of sobriety and submission to the person who built the corporation. Some respect must be given by the fact that they built it. Can't stand the owner of my company. You wouldn't have a paycheck if it wasn't for the owner of your company. Show some respect or leave the job if you're that unhappy.
Yeah, I see the Lord blessing me with a new business.
Really? I don't see it being prosperous because when you show up to work and do nothing for the first 45 minutes but surf the net on a company's money, that's rebellion.
They ain't gonna tell me when to start working.
All right. When your time comes up for promotion, they're going to, you don't think they know when you're logging on and logging off. They're not stupid. They know what you're doing. Integrity is not doing things and stuff underneath and behind your leadership's back. You have to make the right private decisions even when no supervisor or parent is around. Amen. We have a substitute teacher, so now I get to act a fool. Hands up for those who have a different character with their substitute teacher. You get those hands up good. You're lying in the house of the Lord. You're lying! Some of you have tortured your substitute teacher. She pressed the emergency button.
Y'all are acting very self-righteous in this church today. You know you used to love it when your substitute teacher came because she didn't know the curriculum. Y'all making up stuff talking about, yes, for the first 15 minutes we always eat cupcakes. That has never happened in your class before. Yes, teacher, we don't do homework ever. We just think about homework. Rebellion. Rebellion. But we hate on the teacher's pet. We know how to turn stuff in on time. We call them teacher's pet, but I just call that excellence. If you're tired of being a victim of the curve, set the curve. Oh, glory to God. Always talk about what the man doing to you. The man holding me down. You're holding you down with that warped 1968 mentality. This is not a civil rights movement. In the real world, nobody cares about your skin. They care about, can you show up on time and do your job with excellence? Don't be a rebel because your coworkers want to talk about what they don't like about the company. They'll go back to your manager and say you were saying it and mention nothing about what they said. Shut your mouth and do your job. Show up early and leave late. Can I finish this? That makes me angry because I see so much potential and y'all letting rebellion get in your way. Each time we speak against one another, it means a loss of power. Every time we lose power. A loss of power is greater when disobedience is put into words than when it's just hidden in the heart. When it manifests, it affects everybody. I would say, be safe to say that people were traumatized here by certain actions. The effect of words on power far exceeds our common notion. Speaking inadvertently is largely responsible for the breaking of the unity of the church. I'm here to publicly rebuke because you will not cause dissension in this house. I don't care who you are. You see, it's real easy for us to focus on physical outward manifestations, but if your heart is just as rebellious, you're still the problem. And the problem is still here. It's still here. It's still here. But I'm here to let you know that there is a resistance in this house. And we defy disobedience, and we defy rebellion, and we defy Jezebel, and we defy intimidation, and we defy confusion, and we defy mess. Successful people don't have friends. They have acquaintances and associates. Probably one of the biggest difficulties in the church today are due primarily to our slanderous words. I don't want another person to speak in tongues in this church. If you're going to take that same tongue used by the Holy Ghost to chop your brother and sister apart. Tongues are a manifestation of the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But the fruits of the Spirit is where we see if he's still in there. It's more than shouting in tongues and playing tambourines. It's how kind you are and how patient you are and how temperate you are. James chapter number 3. This is our last scripture for today. And I rebuke anyone in here trying to assume what I'm talking about and who this applies to. It applies from the pastor. All the way down.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
I see it. Because it's tempting when you hear something to combine your own personal account with a new offense. It's like the fire has already started at the church, and you bringing up what you experienced with someone is like lighter fluid. It's hot enough as it is. Rebellion in churches. I'm telling you, the ground is going to shake for real in a few more weeks. Hear the man of God. And it's going to swallow up everyone in all the churches that are defying the new kingdom revival about to break out all over the world. You think you are controlling the body, but I hear the Lord saying the great shaking is coming because they cannot stand in the way of souls. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, Church of God in Christ, non-denominational. People are coming in for a word and they want Jesus, not rebellion. James 3 and 11. When you have it, say amen. I need somebody to read that for me out loud. Someone just go for it. James 3 and 11. Out loud, someone.
The fountain sent forth at the same place.
Uh-huh.
Sweet water and bitter.
Come on here. Go on. How in the world are you telling me how good my outfit looks, but you talk about my family? It's hard to receive compliments from people that you know are messy. Have y'all seen Mean Girls? And that one chick compliments, oh, it's such a pretty dress. It's a pretty bracelet. And then as soon as they walk away, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. We laughing. But just like in Mean Girls, there's different cliques within the church. There's the intercessors. They sit at one table. Then you got the extroverts that really know how to dress high in fashion. And then you got the praisers. And then you got the silent lambs that don't say anything. They're intimidated and fearful. Then you got your rebels. Then you got your gossipers. And all of these different cliques going on in society and the world trying to take place in the church. But I'm here to let you know there are no cliques in the kingdom. Don't matter how much money you have. It don't matter who your father is. It doesn't matter how much is in your stock portfolio. When it comes down to the cross, money can't buy you into heaven. But treating your brother and sister right and treating human beings with common respect, I don't care if you don't like what they are and what lifestyle they live in. That does not give you the right to kill them with your tongue. Homeless people, get away from me. You two paychecks away from being just like them. And for some of you, one. Be the first to serve, not to take. If you don't like what someone's doing, you won't solve it by talking about them. As a matter of fact, you will perpetuate more of the behavior you say you don't like. Yeah, they such and such. So now you are reaffirming what you say you can't stand about them, and you want an opposite result? We have to pray from a position of, Lord, not fix them, but fix me so I can see how I'm supposed to help them, not bash them. The prayer isn't, Lord, get them saved or cleaned up or delivered. Get me delivered. While I'm talking about them,
I'm still smoking behind closed doors. I'm still clicking on the internet. Got so much to say about the subject matters we don't like, except the monkey that's on our backs privately. We all need a cross. And rebellion is not the way to the cross. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. We must be broken. When our time comes for our scandal to go public, we're going to want everyone to have mercy on us. And if you were rebellious and slanderous, you will find no help. As a matter of fact, people will say, serves him or serves her right. I've never known she or he to cover anyone. I've only known them to dog every single person they see. There's something not healthy about saying something negative about everyone, and how everyone sings, and how everyone plays, and how everyone dresses, and how their car is horrible, and how their makeup is horrible. Everything about you is negative. That's because it's stocked up in you. It's your own self-esteem issue. It stems from our childhoods. It stems from us being dogged out as kids. But how long are you going to allow your childhood to parent your adult life? The IRS cares nothing about your traumatizing childhood. They will traumatize your adulthood. There ought not come from the same lips loving words and slanderous words. And the church said amen. Amen. May God set a watch over our lips, and not only over our lips, but the matter is, what did I say, gentlemen? The heart. The heart. That we be delivered from rebellious thoughts and reviling words. God, this day, let reviling words forevermore depart from our lips. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Don't clap. This is a Selah. Now it's time for all of us to do self-examination. Close your eyes. Go within. And say, Lord, if any of this spotlight that you've shined through your word is within me anywhere. Lord, I do not want to be a vessel of dishonor. Lord, sanctification is more than dressing nice and wearing white. Father, it's a posture of heart. Create in us a clean heart. God, I comment too much. I say things jokingly that are taken seriously. I need to get this thing under control. Father, I'm rebellious against your word. That's why I'm rebelling against my spouse. Father, I'm rebellious against your word. That's why I'm rebellious in school. That's why I rebel against my parents. That's why I rebel against authority. I hate people telling me anything because I've seen authority abused. So I vowed in my heart never to submit to anyone else ever again because of the way someone I trusted in abused that authority. I've been emotionally scarred, Father, and this is the reason why I have this callus around my heart. But today, I want to grow and be a better person. I want to quit making excuses for my current behavior. Father, I don't want to be found amongst witchcraft. I don't want to be found among lasciviousness and disobedience. Father, I want to be the one that when folks see me, they know I'm trustworthy, that I'm not a truce breaker, that if I say I love them or like them, I truly mean it. And if I am not ready to say I like them, Father, I will not lie in church or outside of church. I will keep my mouth shut and fast until I can love them. But I will no longer lie and be crooked and double-tongued, two-faced. I refuse to be a hypocrite. I refuse to be a turncoat, Father. Jesus, you didn't do that to your disciples or any of the people that you minister to in the Bible. God, you treated everyone the same. You had dinner with tax collectors. You frequented parties. You went to the ugliest, the darkest. How dare I rebel against you and make a mockery of your love in this house?